For our morning here, we're going to progress in our theme, and our theme is that of the Son of God. And you guys have spent a little bit of time there this morning in Hebrews. We're going to be there in 1 John, so if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, 1 John 5, you can. It's in your Bible. If you have a New Testament, it's towards the back of your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, the text will be on the wall, or it's printed in your bulletin there as well, and you can follow along there. And as always, if you don't have a Bible, if you'd let us know, we'd love to get one for you. Okay, so we're going to pursue a thought today, though, that we're going to call the Son of God, the Son of God. And so all sorts of names in the Bible referring to Jesus, right? Titles and descriptive names, things of that nature. Help me name some of these. What are some of the names of Jesus? What do you think of? Zion, Savior, Truth, ma'am, Light, Emmanuel. Anybody else want to play? Counselor. I'm just teasing. Savior. Prince of Peace. The Messiah. All right, so there's all sorts of names, right? And we haven't even begun to touch them all. Typically, we think of the Old Testament. We probably think of some of what we've listed here out of Isaiah. You think of Wonderful and Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and we heard Prince of Peace. All right. What about Lord? Is Jesus called Lord? Okay. Jesus usually refers to himself as, you know, Son of, nope, that's what we call him, Son of Man. It's typically how he refers to himself, the Son of Man. All right. He's called the I Am. We'll see that in the Old and New Testament. So there's all sorts of names that kind of give us a fuller picture. All right, and we're not going to ask what your fuller names are, or I don't want you telling me what my fuller names are that kind of give us a better picture of who we are, who people perceive us to be. But who we understand Jesus to be is outlined in these detailed and descriptive names. And so today we're going to look at one of these called the Son of God. Okay, Son of God is where we're going to spend our time. So I want you to still play along here. I need your help. Typically, when we think of someone being a son, it means they have a father, and that father helped create them, right? So my father is Lee Penn, and my father played a part in creating me. And apart from him, I would not be here. Is that how it works between Father God and Son of God? Did the Father God create the Son? No, all right? The Father God did not create the Son, and we know that because Jesus is... He's God, and he's eternal, okay? So to say that something's created says that it has a beginning, right? And so I have a beginning. You've had a beginning. To call Jesus the Son of God in the same way we think of the same Son of God would make him a created being. And the Bible tells us in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word, who's a reference to Jesus, and this Word was with God, and this Word was God, okay? And so... Son of God does not mean the same thing when it refers to Jesus as it does to you and I. So we are sons and daughters of God. We've had to be born of God. So let's don't confuse those terms, right? So Jesus is the Son of God, but he wasn't born of God. For you and I to be sons and daughters of God, we have to be born. We have to be created in him. And so that's what we're going to pursue today, looking at the one who's always been the Son of God and who we are in him, or who we can be if we will believe here this morning. So 1 John 5 is where we're going to be. And we find John writing here, kind of, it seems like a follow-up to where he left off in the Gospels. So in the Gospel, he declares who Jesus is. He outlines 8 miracles for us to give us a picture of his power. He displays all sorts of wondrous teachings. Several times people say of him, you are the Son of God, or are you the Son of God? John the Baptist said that of him. Pilate says that of him. Jesus just says, yes, I am, okay? And so typically he refers to himself as Son of Man, but often he's referred to as the Son of God by other people. Now, at the end of John, what it says is, I've written this so that you would believe and be saved. And in 1 John, we kind of address a group of people who've already been saved, but have a little bit of struggle. They're having some doubts. They've got some questions. And so he's writing to clarify some errors, but he's also writing to build some assurance. And so I love this, because when people are first saved, right, we don't know it all, right? We tend to think maybe we do as we start growing, and it's like the more you grow in the faith, the more that you realize you don't know a whole lot. And so that's kind of how these people were dealing. So initially, you come to Jesus, and you're born of God, and you're saved, and you've got this fire in you, and you've got this hunger to know the Word of God, and you want to live your life for Him. It seems somewhere we plateau a little bit. And it's at that plateau that we start asking questions. And maybe that takes 2 months, maybe it takes 2 years. But I would say for all of us, we've probably hit that point. Am I really saved? Is Jesus really the Son of God? And so we start, as our faith develops and grows, we start asking some of these difficult questions. And so John writes to us here to say, I'm going to build your faith. I want you to have assurance. I want to clarify some errors. And hopefully we'll do that here as well this morning. So you can break down 1 John into really three categories, and you've said it already this morning. God is light, God is love, and 1 John 5 is typically called God is life. And so we're going to look at life through the Son of God as it relates to 1 John 5 and to you and I here this morning. So if you'd like to follow along, and that's where we'll be here, these first five verses. 1 John 5, verse 1 begins, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. If you love God, you love Jesus. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so here it is today. We're going to look into these five verses, trying to understand better who we are and what we have as a result of being born of God. All right, so if you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you can. As always, it's there just for personal benefit. So let's begin. Through the Son of God, we can be born of God. And we use that word can here because it doesn't mean that it will happen. We can be born of God, and that's true for anyone on this planet. We can be born of God. So just a few minutes ago, we said that Jesus was the Son of God, but Jesus was not what? Jesus was not born of God because Jesus is God. Okay, and so we just made that clear. However, for anyone else on the planet to become a child of God, we've got to be born of God. And here he says that happens through the Son of God. This happens through Jesus. So let's go back to that verse, verse 1, 1 John 5, and we'll see this clearly. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? Is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And so I love this here. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is there any hint of failure to become a child of God? Is there any hint here that this may not possibly happen for you? It says, everyone who believes, all right, everyone who believes, and so a key word here is that word believes. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So to love God means that we'll love Jesus. To love Jesus means that we love God. Now, there are people on this planet, aren't there, who would say, I believe in God, I just don't believe in Jesus. Do you have a problem with that way of thinking? All right, we would have a problem with that way of thinking. Why? Okay, and what tells us that? Okay, and so that's the only place we could go to is the Word of God, right? And so you're going to say you believe in God, but you don't believe in Jesus. And so you're asking the exact question. How can you believe in the God of the Bible, just not the Jesus of the Bible? Some people say, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you have a problem with that way of thinking? Yes, for the very same reason, right? Because the Bible declares very clearly that Jesus is the Son of God. And so you can believe there's a God, and you can believe Jesus existed. He's just not the Son of God. You can say that you're a Christian. You can call yourself whatever. You are not biblically accurate. And I just wonder if that's maybe you've just got some misunderstandings or if you've actually been born. Now, that's not for me to decide, but we've got to line up with Scripture. Right? We've got to line up with what Scripture says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, let's outline this word belief. I know some of you, many of you in this room know this already. Could I stand here and say that Jesus is the Son of God and not be saved? Could I stand here and honestly say Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be a lost person? Yes, right? Because just stating a fact does not mean that I've been regenerated. It does not mean that I have been converted or saved. So anybody could state that's what the Bible says, okay? And they could believe that's what the Bible says. Though this here is going further. The idea of believing here is the idea of receiving. And so it is something that is taken in. It's not just a fact that I think is true. It's something that I own myself. He is the Son of God, and He is my Savior. And so it's different than just stating facts. And so it's very important for you and I to receive Christ as our Savior. Therefore, then we could be born of God. And so we understand how this plays out through Scripture. We understand that Jesus literally was God before He took on flesh. And really, that's what Son of God means. Flesh. Skin on. Okay? He came to this planet. And so we understand that He humbled Himself and that He came here, that He lived a perfect life, right? He died the sinner's death, that He was buried for a few days, that He was resurrected, and that He ascended. And so we believe these truths. And if we believe these truths, we are born of God. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, just as John outlines there in verse 1. And so this is very important that we have the distinction of belief. Okay, it's not just that there is a fact, and I think that's probably true, but that fact is applied to my life. I'm a sinner, a great one, and Jesus is a great Savior, and I have turned to Him and become His child. Now, what I like about this verse specifically, and by the way, these would be some good verses just to take to heart, to memorize. Because if you've ever had a doubt about your salvation, this squashes it. Okay? And I love that because it's not about necessarily what's going on in our hearts or heads. It's about what's true. And so here in this text, John is outlining for us and he's identifying for us where our assurance lies. So is your assurance in how you feel? Have you ever felt like you weren't saved? Have you ever felt like, I'm just not sure that I've been born of God? All right, so a lot of us saying yes and nodding our heads, okay. Where did you find your assurance? Did you all of a sudden feel like you were saved the next day? I mean, we've had highlights. Now, there have been some young people here who've been trusting Jesus as their Savior recently, and that's a highlight. But there's going to come a point, and we know this, where we feel like, am I really saved? Where'd my high go? Where'd my feeling go? Where'd my joy go? I mean, I used to come in here and just want to sing my guts out. Now I just got to like rev it up. Come on, buddy, you got to get it going. And so what has changed? Am I not saved because of my feelings? No. And so it has absolutely nothing to do with how we feel. The truth is, the saved person will feel like they are some days, and some days they'll feel like they're not. Some days you'll feel like the Spirit of God is close, and some days you'll feel like you're on an island by yourself. Some days you'll open the Word of God, and it just feels like it's you and God, and He's writing specifically to you. Some days you open it, and it just looks like gibberish. I don't understand this at all. What are you really trying to say to me today? And so am I saved, not saved, saved, not saved? No, it's not about how I feel. It's not about what I understand. It's not about me. There's a pastor who tells a story to kind of help us understand this. There was a gentleman who was a part of his church. He was a new convert, and he came to his house one day just in a crisis. And he was just struggling with his faith. And here's what he says. No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation. You ever been there? I just can't do it. I guess it's not in me to be a Christian, so I guess I'm just going to fail at this thing. Well, the pastor looks at this man and he says, do you see this dog here? He's my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Now, out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He is a total mess. But who's going to inherit my kingdom, my dog or my son? And what's the new convert say? He says, the Son. See, we are God's heirs because we are God's children. We belong to God because God says so. And so the way I find my assurance is not in what I feel. Because some days we're going to feel like this new convert, like a total mess, or like that baby in the kitchen. Some days we're going to feel like we excel, but it's never about how good or bad we do. It's based in who Jesus is, what he has done, and what his word declares. We either are children of God or we are not. And he says, I'm writing to you so that you can have assurance. Let's read it. Verse 12 and 13 of 1 John 5. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I don't know, care who you are. That is not complicated, right? So if you have Jesus, you have what? Life. And if you don't have him, you don't have life. It's just that simple, right? We don't have to overstretch here. We don't have to make it about us and what we feel like and how good we're doing and feel like we need to earn it. You either have Jesus or you don't. And then having him, you have life. And if you don't have him, you don't have life. Verse 13, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may, what's the next word? Know. I'm writing this so that you may know that you have eternal life. So there's never a day, church, for us to be at home in our car or to walk out of this building going, I just don't know if I'm saved. Have you received the gift of God's Son? Have you asked him to save you of your sins, repenting? Have you believed in him? Not, I think he's a fact, but I'm a great sinner and he's a great Savior, and I believe that he really is the Son of God. If you've believed in him, then you've been saved. There is assurance there. So never doubt it. It's not true because I say so. So if you come in my office, hey, Pastor, you think I'm saved? I'm just going to throw it right back at you. What do you think? More importantly, what does God say? Look at the Word. Do you have the Son? Well, yes, and you have life. I don't feel like it. Tough day for you, okay? Tough day for me. We're all going to be there. The reality is not about how we feel or how hard the day is or how hard we work or how much we've just blown it. What does God say? If you have the Son, you have life. Know this. Have assurance concerning your faith. So here again, some great verses to memorize, and these are great for parents and grandparents to instill in your children and grandchildren. Talk about these often because it's going to come up. I just don't know if I really meant it, or I don't know if that really happened. I didn't really feel anything. Well, let's go to the Scripture. Are you supposed to feel something? You're supposed to know something. This is what the Bible says. This is what God has done. Trust his word. So it's not based on feelings, but it's based on facts. And here what he says is that we can know that we have eternal life. So when does eternal life begin? At the moment of belief, right? So we don't have to wait for it. And so it's not something we're going to die and get to. It's something that starts in the heart of the believer at the moment of belief. And so don't wait for it. Can we earn it? We can't earn eternal life. Don't wait for it. Don't work for it. And don't worry about it. Because if you've been saved and you know that, then know that you're a son or daughter of God. You have full assurance in the Word of God. Don't wait for it. Don't work for it. Don't worry about it. All right? Know full well that you are his son or daughter. Through the Son of God, we can become sons and daughters of God. All right, let's progress here this morning. Secondly, through the Son of God, we are to love the children of God. Through the Son of God, we are to love the children of God. And so let's kind of recap where we've been. Those who are of God will love God, and those who are born of God will love the Son of God, okay? So I love God, I love Jesus, but those who are born of God will also love those who are children of God as well. Let's go back to our text, and we kind of see this in reverse in 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and by carrying out his commands. In fact, verse 3, this is love for God, to keep his commands. Now, very simply, and let's clarify, we are to love the children of God. Why? Because they are children of God. So what I love about this text is that it breaks down every barrier, every category that our country and our world tries to build. How many different categories do you think that you're broke down into? Probably a dozen or so. We could talk about age, we could talk about health, we could talk about male-female, we could talk about the color of our skin, we can talk about our nationality, we can talk about where we live, we can talk about our income, And we can talk about all sorts of things, okay, that are to define who we are. What ends up happening when we categorize people is you get in your category and you stay there. And then you get over here and you stay here. You're black, you're white, they shouldn't mix. You got a lot of money, you don't mingle with those who don't. Right? You live on the right side of the tracks, you live on the wrong side of the tracks. You stay in your territory and I'll stay in mine. That's the system of our world. The gospel blows that up, right? Removes every hindrance for the children of God. And so I love the picture that this paints. How can a 6-year-old and an 86-year-old have anything in common? We can say, well, we're both on the planet, we're both breathing, whatever. Is that where it stops? No, you've just said it. The biggest way, the biggest common denominator that we have is through Jesus. And so you can sit across the table with a 6-year-old child, if you're 86, and talk about the thing that matters the most on this planet. And sometimes, well, I just can't identify with the younger generation. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's done in your life and listen to them and let them talk about what he has done in their life. He just breaks down all these barriers. And so we spend time relating as children of God to those who are also children of God. You know what this says? I have no right ever whatsoever towards a child of God to have any sort of obstacle in our relationship. For me to just say, I don't like you, I want nothing to do with you, and you're a child of God, ooh, that's some scary water to be treading. Doesn't the Bible say, if you can't love the one that you see, what makes you believe that you love the one that you don't see? Right? In God, every barrier is broken. Every barrier. There's no more prejudice. There should be no hindrance. And where there is, I just lay it at the feet of Jesus and I pray for his grace to help me live this out. Help me love your children. Help me love your children as someone who is born of God. People who would otherwise never be connected are connected here in this common bond, who is the Son of God. So it doesn't matter, rich or poor, black or white, sick or health, none of that matters. What matters is child of God or not. Here he says, we are to love those. Those who are born of God must love those who are the children of God. And so I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love the Son of God, but I'm also to love all the children of God. Now, does that just include those at peace? What about people who love the same God, who believe in the same Jesus, but they have some distinctions about their faith that are different than what we believe? Items that we wouldn't call top shelf essential, maybe some of the non-essential items. Can I love you? I better, right? Absolutely. I am to love you. And so these things should just fade. It doesn't mean that we can't have our distinctions. It just means, it doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. It doesn't mean I get in and you don't. It doesn't mean I'm a child and you're not. Same God, same Jesus. We've got the common denominator there. Every hindrance and obstacle should flee. Through the Son of God, we are to love the children of God. Through the Son of God, we can be born of God. And let's progress here then to our third point. Through this Son of God, we can overcome this world. Through the Son of God, we can overcome this world. And here again, I want you to note the word can. Note the word can, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am anybody here this morning. I wish that read, we overcome this world. You ever have a day as a Christian where you're not overcoming? Where you're battling, where your spirit's low, where you're struggling with the temptation, or you feel like you just can't go, well, just press on anymore? Right? We can overcome. Our struggle sometimes is we don't look to the right source. I don't look the right way. Rather than trying to do it myself first, I need to look elsewhere. And so what this implies here, being an overcomer, means we're going to have some things in life to overcome. So how many battles have you faced in your life? How many mountains have you come to in your faith and said, I don't know that I can actually believe this anymore. This just seems insurmountable for me to understand this and to really grow. I'm either going to have to go over this mountain or I'm just going to have to give up and say, I can't do it. I just don't think it's real. Sometimes we hit these roadblocks and we probably have family members and friends who've come to those points who've just made foolish decisions that have just said, I just don't believe anymore. Or I guess it can't be real. And they've given in to a nature or they've given in to another belief system. When Jesus says we are to overcome, it implies there are going to be things that we're going to have to overcome. And so we're going to have to fight. Christians are going to have to fight. Verse 4 and 5, 1 John 5, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who," what is it? "Believes." And we're just running full circle here. "Only the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." What did verse 1 say? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. And so we've got this full circle here where faith comes in by belief in the Son of God. And now we've got the idea here of being this overcomer simply because we believe and we've been saved by Jesus Christ. Now, how many days, honestly, do you feel like an overcomer? How many days do you feel like you've battled well and through the power of God, you're winning? Your situation is not owning you. Whatever it is, your health is not owning you. Your relationships are not owning you. Right? The struggles of other people are not owning you. Your worries are not owning you. Where you feel like, "I am overcoming. God is answering my prayer. He's given me strength to persevere." See, that's what this text says here that should be the livelihood of the Christian. We want to know that we're saved, right? We want the knowledge. We want to know for certain that we're saved, and we can know it because the Bible says so. We can know that we are overcomers because the Bible says so. Jesus says those who are the children of God will overcome. Through his death, he became a conqueror, right? And Paul writes and says that in him, we are conquerors as well. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. In Paul's introduction to this group of believers, this is what he says about Jesus. "Jesus who gave himself for our sins." Jesus who gave himself for our sins, and for the specific purpose here of, to, what is it? To rescue us. Jesus who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. It's exactly what John's writing here in 1 John 5. "According to the will of our God and Father." Jesus who gave himself for our sins, but not just to take care of our sins, but to rescue us so that we can overcome the evil in this world. See, this has always been the plan of God. Isn't that what that says? This is the will of our Father. He knew that you would battle. He knew you would struggle. He knew that when you would follow him, that this would be a battle. But he also knew that as you pursued his Son, you would overcome. And so his plan is in Jesus, the one who not only saves us, he will rescue us. There was a man who was walking through a park, and he passed this big oak tree. And this was kind of his daily route. He was just walking like he normally does. And so he started paying attention to this tree. And what he noticed was at the foot of this tree, there was a vine that started to grow. And so a year would pass, and he would keep walking his walk, and he'd notice that vine had grown a little bit taller. And it was starting to branch out a little bit, and what he calls creepers. All right? And then another year would go by, and he kept going by, and this thing kept getting taller and taller and taller, and it just kept wrapping itself around this tree. Have you ever seen trees like this? So this was his daily progression, until one day he noticed that this tree was starting to die. Now, I've spent some time in the woods, and I've seen several trees this way. The trees are dead. They're covered with this fake life. These creepers, these vines that have just sucked all the water and nutrients out of the tree. They've killed, squeezed the tree, but they're thriving. And so he said it made him start thinking about some things in his own life. He said, you know how easy it is for sin just to get in and to start entangling itself. And usually it starts out real small. Right? It's not a big deal. But if it's left unkept for a long time, this sin will start to grow, and it's going to start creeping around and starting to strangle out us as Christians. He said there was one day he went by the park and he noticed the gardener out there, and he was at the base of the tree looking at the tree. And he had a saw in his hand. And so he took that saw and he made one cut and walked away. He said, you know, I kept passing that tree, and for a long time the leaves on that vine stayed green and all the creepers just hung on. But as years progressed, those leaves didn't come back. That thing started to die out, and it just started falling off the tree. And before long, that tree was restored. It was back to its original health. And he says, man, that's just like what Jesus has done. He has severed the tempter. He has severed the power of the tempter over us. And he's created us to be these people who can overcome. Now, sometimes we still feel like our life is just this entangled mess, right? We've got all these creepers around us, and all we're really doing is waiting for these things to die off. There's going to come a point where there's no life left to them, right? Where they will have no power, where ultimately we will be back restored to this perfect health. And so the picture here then is just hang on. You are a strong oak in the making. There is strength there. There is someone who is saturating you with nutrients. We do have an adversary who's working hard. And here the scriptures tell us we can overcome him. We will battle him. We need to fight. But ultimately, the root has been severed. So here this morning, we've tried to talk through this Son of God. And we've looked at him as this one who is a Savior, and that through belief in him, we will be born of God. We've also seen a way that we can test ourselves. Those who are really born of God have no barrier in loving others who are children of God, regardless of anything about them. Prejudice fades. All that's got to fall away when soul to soul connect. You're a follower of God, and I'm a follower. You're a son of God, and I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God, and I'm a daughter of God. And we're family. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your past is. I don't care if it's publicized on news like people's pasts have been here the last couple weeks. If you are a believer in God, you're a son of God, and I love you. And if you're a believer in God, and you're a daughter of God, our response is, and we love you. And we love you. We're to love the children, and here we're also to be people who overcome. And so the text says you can do it. And so that should motivate us to go out of here and live it. I'm not going to be overcome by my worry. I'm not going to succumb to this temptation. I'm not going to try to navigate my own course or figure it out myself. I'm going to trust the one who has severed the source of the one who's trying to destroy me, that he knows what's best for me. He is my life.